Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Fellowship Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and the Holy Spirit is all over here. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick word for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are excited. Always like to let you know that we are excited and we are delighted that the Lord has allowed us to enter in this morning. Hallelujah. There's many people that were here on last night, but they are no longer here today. They have crossed over to another dimension. In the name, they crossed over. But we are grateful to be here. It is hot, but we are under a fan. And we are being cooled off. I don't know if I can get a little church, a little music up here for you today. Let's see if we can. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. We don't take your presence lightly. Your presence is more than enough. Oh God, how you come and you grace us each time that we call upon you. You grace us with your presence. We thank you, Father God, for loving us beyond our comprehension. Lord, that you love us so much that you gave your Son to lay down his life at Calvary so that we might have life, O God, and have it more abundantly. We ask, Father God, today that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Oh God, that you would allow us to hear
your voice. Lord Jesus, we ask this morning that you would look beyond our faults, O God, and that you would see our needs. And Father, as you see our needs, that you would speak to our needs today, that you will heal our infirmities. O God, that you would clear our thoughts to hear from heaven, O God, as we submit our mind, body, and soul to you this afternoon. O Lord Jesus, we ask that you use us this morning. Use us this afternoon, O God, as your instrument of peace, of love, of repentance, of restoration, of healing, of deliverance. O God, use us today. We ask that you bless this word that we're about to release, that God, the hearers, will not only be hearers, but they will become doers of the word, that your word would go forth with power and that it would go forth with authority in the precious name of Jesus, the one who is leading and the one who is guiding, the one who without we can do nothing, but who with we can do all things as he strengthens us. We're going to be talking about the subject matter today is Jesus gives sight to the blind. Do you want to see? We ask you a question. We tell you what he does, and we ask you if you want to see. Do you want to see? See, many people have eyes and have ears, and they hear, but they don't hear what they need to hear. They see, but they don't see what they need to see. In other words, they're walking as though they were blind. A young lady told me, she says to me, she says, sir, you know, I read the Bible every day, but I don't understand the Bible. So I told her, I said, if you really want to understand the Bible, what you got to do is that you got to call on the one who instructed the Bible to be written, the one who gave the word. You got to call on the Holy Spirit, call on Jesus. Every time you open the Bible, you got to invite him to come. Hallelujah. He's not going to come where he's not invited. If you think you know it all, or you know it already, he's not going to teach you. So you have to submit your way and your will to him. A lot of preachers are preaching, and they don't call on the Holy Spirit because they feel, because they got a PhD or MA or BA or some type of degree in ministry, that they have a right. They believe that they know it all. But I come to tell you today that none of us know it all. Only the Holy Spirit does. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He told the apostles that he wasn't going to leave them comfortless. He said that when he go away, he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would bring all things to their remembrance. Let's go into the Word, John chapter 9. My back is a little sore. I was out in the water swimming this morning, so I'm going to lay back and minister so I can give my back a little reprieve, and I'm going to minister from this reclined position. Jesus help us. John chapter 9, and let us go into the NLT, the New Living Translation. The Bible says Jesus, in the title in the book is Jesus heals a blind, a man born blind. Well, the subject that we are dealing with today is that Jesus gives sight to the blind. Do you want to see? You're studying the Bible, reading the Bible or studying the Bible. You're going to ministry classes, but you still are not getting what you need. You don't understand what you're seeing. You don't understand what you're hearing. So you need your spiritual eyes to be open. So you need to ask the one who can open your spiritual eyes. Your pastor, your bishop, your apostle, your evangelist, your teacher can't open your spiritual eyes. They may pray for your spiritual eyes to be open, but the one that can open your spiritual eyes, his name is Jesus. The Bible said, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind from birth. In other words, he born blind. He said, Rabbi, Rabbi, his disciple asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? The disciples asked Jesus this question, because they didn't believe that some person should be born blind. We have people today that are born crippled. They can't walk. We have people born with one eye. They had a woman born in some country. I can't tell you the country because I can't remember the country. The young lady was born. The child was born, and the child had no eyes. The place where the eyes were born was completely covered over with skin. The little child had no eyes. Hallelujah. She had hands. She had ears. She had feet. She had mouth. She had no eyes. The eyes were covered over. Some defect inside the birth canal. Well, the disciples asked Jesus if the man was born this way because of his sin or his parents' sin. Jesus replied it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered, this happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. In other words, it happened because at some point in time in his life, he will have an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus will do for him what only God can do. Jesus will heal him. Jesus will give, would open his eyes so that he can see like other people can see. Well, we were living in sin, and at a point, we were blind, spiritually blind to the things of God. Somebody prayed for us that God would come and that he would open our spiritual eyes. When you get saved, when you give your life to Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you receive him, you accept him as your deliverer, as your restorer, what happened is that your spiritual eyes open. You said, but Apostle, I could see all the time. I could see the cars going, the plane flying over. I could see the boats on the water. I could see the train passing by. But you could not see the spiritual things of God. You were blind. You see the people out there that are committing all type of criminal acts and promiscuous acts, and they're acting all sinful. They're blind to the things of God. And they believe that they're doing what is good. Look at the people that are transgenders and transvestites and all what they call themselves. Men that are changing themselves to be women and women that change themselves to be men. But they never would be the opposite sex. They may get the instrument that the opposite sex have. They may have a penis. They may have a vagina. But they will never be a woman. They came out the womb as a man. They will always be a man, even if they had two penises. If they had two vaginas, they'd still be a man. You know, if they had two penises and there was a woman before, there would still be a woman. You understand? Their physical structure is a woman from God, even though they're running around and acting like a man or running around and acting like a woman. Hallelujah. I mean, if you got a motor car and all of a sudden you change the motor car and put a wheels on it like a train, that don't make it a train. It's still a motor car. It just has the wheels on that look like a train, the train wheels on. But it's not a train. It's still a motor car. And this is what the devil is doing to these people. It's making these people act unseemly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us go into the word. My Bible just went silly because I'm on the computer. I got to go back in here. It's trying to take me to Blog Talk. Let's go back here. So verse 4 says, quickly carry out the task assigned to us by to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Here Jesus is talking. Jesus says, we need to work now. We need to work now that the light is shining. We need to work now that the light is with us. You know, we've seen that preachers today, they're complaining about what the president and the vice president, what the administration is doing, turning the whole system into a sinful system. But they're not standing against it. They're not standing up and rejecting what the president is doing. They say, well, it's got to be something good that the president is doing. You know, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, whatever preference that they want to say. They would say, it's got to be, the president's not just doing something wrong. Just because that they decide that they are this or that, they are going to settle for it. They forget that they're no longer a Republican or Democrat. They are Christians. And we have to live according to the Bible. This is our basic instruction before leaving Earth. We can't succumb to what the Democrats are doing or what the Republicans do. We got to do what God said that we must do. This was Jesus saying to the disciples. He said, we got to work. This is what he says. He said to them, we must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. He's talking about the Father. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. He said, the night is coming. There's a time coming, listen, and then no one can work. Hallelujah. There are going to be laws that are going to be set in our nations and the nations all over the world. I just saw something last night, some mall in the United States of America, that the preacher was in the mall. And the preacher was talking, this young evangelist, and the preacher was talking about Jesus. And the police officers that are assigned to work in the mall kicked them out of the mall and told them that they can't preach this name inside the mall. You remember when Peter and John was and Paul and Silas, they was arrested, put in jail for preaching that name that's above all names. But they never stopped. As soon as they were released from their jail cell, they continued preaching. See, because they had an assignment. Jesus says that we must carry out our assignment. Hallelujah. It is assigned to us to go and preach and teach the gospel, the truth, not compromise the truth, not water down the truth, not preach a word that making the people feel good and love us and give us more more money. We must preach a word that's going to cause the people find no peace but to search to Jesus to find peace. They can't find no peace, no other peace in the world. They have to seek Jesus because the word that we are teaching them and preaching them is convicting them of sin. And they say, I got to find a savior. I got to find a deliverer. Here in this word, chapter 9 of John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, but while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. It's coming out of the New Living Translation. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. You see, this man wanted to see. Remember we said that Jesus gives sight to the blind. And then we ask you a question, do you want to see? Some people are saying today, while they hear the preacher's preaching, I can see already. But in reality, they really can't see. They can see natural things, hear natural things, but they can't see spiritual things or hear spiritual things. Hallelujah. Jesus says, while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. He illuminates the path that we are traveling even right now. He is illuminating the path for us so we can travel in safety. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. The man went and washed, come back saying. The neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was. Others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the same one. The beggar could not hold his peace. He could not keep quiet. He could not keep silent. Because remember, he couldn't see before. And he was making noise, begging people for alms. But now he has his eyes, his natural eyes have been opened. And in some way you can say also his spiritual eyes. Because he is excited to tell the people that he can see. Hallelujah. Like when we first got saved, we were excited. We wanted to tell everybody that we are saved, that we are born again. And after a few months, closed off, shut in the box. We don't want to testify. We don't want to glorify the one who delivered us. But this blind man, this man that was blind, cannot keep his mouth closed. He got to tell. They asked him, who healed you? What happened? How come you can see? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. You see, the folk are concerned. Not so much that Jesus healed this blind man, but they're concerned that this is the Sabbath. I was just ministering to some people right here in our island. We went shopping yesterday. And I was ministering to these two Israelites. One lady had on, very nice lady, had on this dress that has the tassels around the skirt, which is a command that they say God gave to the Israelites. And she looked at the other lady, who is the Israelite, and she said to the lady, how come you don't have the dress or skirt with the tassels around the border or the hem? So I'm there with them. So she said, it's a command of God. So I says to her, do you keep all the commandments of God? She said, I'm trying to keep as many as I can, the ones I know about. I said, do you know in the book of Joel chapter 2 that God talks about the people coming to him in their fancy apparel, but how their hearts was far from him? I begin to tell them, and this kind of girl, the other lady was just looking at me. She was just in my mouth. I mean, she was right in my mouth. I said, because people are so caught up. I told her, I have many robes and stuff, crosses and stuff that pertaining to ministry. I said, but all of that stuff that I have that look good to the people, it's not going to get me in heaven. I said, because God, the one that we are serving, or I serve, is not caring about what type of robe I wear, what type of cross I have around my neck. He's concerned about the holiness that's in my soul, in my heart? Am I living a life that pleases him, that draws people to him through my actions? And both of them were sitting there. They're both Israelites. We're in downtown. We're in the middle of town. People passing by the droves, and I'm ministering. I'm ministering like I'm on a pulpit, but I'm on an open pulpit. One day, the young lady says, "Sister, man of God, I'm glad. I'm happy you shared with us like this, because now I got to study much harder." I said, "It's not about the garments. It's not about the garments. This was a different dispensation that God was ministering to his people through Moses. Ten that he put there is the ones that, the most important ones that he wants us to keep. Not about garments. It's about your soul." And I told the girl, lady, I said, without holiness, no man will see God. So it doesn't matter how well I preach, how well I sing, or how well you dance or and you play the instruments. If you don't live holy, live according to God's instructions to please God, you're not going to make it in. You're not going to make it in. So we went on. I was keep talking to them about God. We went and looked at this historic Jewish site. I know they took pictures. I forgot my phone home. So I didn't have a computer with me. So they sent me a picture this morning about the historic Jewish synagogue, the oldest synagogue in the Caribbean. Here, they're concerned with Jesus asking the man who healed him, where he is. He told them the man they call Jesus made mud. He made a mud patty and put from his eyes, one on each eye. And told him to go wash. The man had to do his part. Jesus has already done his part for us on the cross at Calvary. We, you and I, we have to do our part. Hallelujah. The problem is that we don't want to do anything. We don't want to preach. We don't want to teach. We don't want to stand on the little cardboard box or little wooden box and proclaim the gospel. We want to get into the big arena where everybody can see us that we are called. We just want to be unsure. The Bible says these people begin to say, "Where is he now?" They ask. The man replied, "I don't know." Then they took the man who had been blind to the five seas. They took him to the ones that they thought knew better, knew the law. These people profess to know this and know that. People, but that is not going to get them in. Folk has PhD, MBA, all types of degrees, honorary degrees, doctorate degrees. And they post on Facebook that they got these things. Now they're dressing different. Now they have different robes with three stripes on their shoulder. They have a ring on their finger. Oh, they have a mitre on their head. They have all the stuff. They have a staff in their hand, look like Moses. But there's nothing in their hearts. I said, Jesus, say, give sight to the blind. Do you want to see? Because most of us are in spiritual darkness. We can't see a lick. We can't hear a lick. Hallelujah. We're getting mad with this body and mad with that body because why? Our spiritual eyes are shut closed. We have scales on our eyes like Paul or Saul, however, before his name was changed. We have scales on our eyes. And God says, I want to remove the scales so you can see. I want to unplug your physical ears so you can hear spiritually. I want to talk to you. I want to show you something. Walking around blind. They took him to the Pharisees because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them, he put mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man, Jesus, is not from God. See, they were offended because Jesus did this mighty, miraculous work on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have folk that are so bent up today, even in our time, that are so bent up about the Sabbath day that they don't really see the Savior. They don't see the Savior. They only focus on the Sabbath day. The day. And Jesus told us that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Hallelujah. But here, they say this man, Jesus, is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath. Others says, but how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division of opinions among them. No, they could not agree. Some are standing for the Sabbath. Others are looking at the miracle that was being done. Hallelujah. Many are blind. Many have eyes, but they really can't see. Many have ears, they're sophisticated, but they can't hear. Hallelujah. These are people that ought to know better, these Pharisees. They understood the law, but they didn't understand the lawgiver. Their eyes were wired shut, their spiritual eyes. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? The man replied, I think he must be a prophet. The man didn't want to go too far on a limb. But he is saying that because of this miraculous work that has been done to him, all I can tell you, I just believe that he must be a prophet, because no ordinary man can do this, what he's done to me. He says, look, he must be a prophet. Then the Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could not see. So they called in his parents. See, they're not satisfied enough that the man is beginning to testify now. When you begin to testify and you begin to talk about the blood that's covering your life, people ain't gonna believe. I was just in the ocean swimming, and some people that I know, grew up with, was in the water. And there was other people that I never met before. They were feeding me fruit. Soursop. Mangoes. Cherries. Oh, they brought all this stuff from another city. And they brought it to the ocean. We was in the water. Clear blue water. And we begin to have ministry. One of the guys says, he's a reverend. I grew up with him. He began to talk about me because he has seen me come home at different times. And he's seen that every time that I come home, the anointing that's on my life is stronger than the first time, than the time before. My stance for God is stronger than it was in 2017. is stronger than it was in 2007. This is the time that I came into the country. So he told the lady, he's a reverend. His sister used to call my mother her mother because her mother didn't really like her that much. She was like the black sheep in the family. And in the water, in the, that's the Atlantic Ocean. We are in the Atlantic Ocean. We are out there in the water, clear blue sky. We begin to minister in the water about Jesus. I ended up praying for all of them before I left the water. I said, I got to go because I got to get home and put on Blog Talk Radio. The lady told me she's from a different parish way up on the north of the country. She says, what's the name of your ministry? I says, Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. I told her it's a digital ministry. She says, I heard about that. She said, I heard about that Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. I said, wow. I said, it's a possibility because our ministry goes through the satellite system all over the world. And I prayed for all them women in the water and then came home, took a shower, and put on Blog Talk Radio. You have to know that you know that you know that you, Jesus told them in the word. This is what he told them, that they must finish the assignment, complete the assignment that was given to them. We have an assignment to open blind eyes, spiritually blind eyes. People in the world are blind. They're deaf. They can't hear. They can't see. Yes, they can walk to the store. They can drive from one city to another. But they cannot see spiritually, and they cannot hear spiritually. We are assigned. We have been given the assignment to open their eyes with the word of God, not with some story about some fancy thing that you want to talk about. If it's a story, it's got to be one pertaining to Christ Jesus. Open the eyes. The Pharisee would not satisfy with the man saying that Jesus put the mud patties on his eyes and his eyes were open. They called in his parents, his father and his mother, who were members of the synagogue, you hear me, to testify their son's behalf, to make this thing clear that they don't believe him. But they asked them, is this your son? Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see? Now, there's three questions right here. Number one, is he your son? Second question, was he born blind? Third question, how can he now see? Can you imagine? The parents know, especially the mother, she know that her son, who now can see, came out of her womb blind. She raised him up to the age that he is right now. She know he was blind until he met Jesus, the one who gave him sight. His parents replied, we know this is our son. That's the first answer to the first part, first question. Number two, that he was born blind. Number three, the third question, they ask, how can he now see? He said, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. The parents reply, we don't know how he can see and who healed him, but ask him. He is old enough to speak for himself. See, the parents, they got this fear because they're upstanding members of the synagogue. You know, some groups you get into, it's better you didn't get in the groups to start with, because they want you to compromise your stance to be a member of the group. The only thing you want to be is connected to Christ Jesus. That's all you need. Not a group. Especially when the group don't believe that God is God. You know, they don't have eyes enough to see him. They don't have understanding enough to understand that the works that he's doing is miraculous, that they're mighty. Only God can do those kind of works. So the people said, ask him for himself. He's old enough. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. See, if you just say Jesus, you know, today when you say Jesus, I told you that they were kicking people out of the mall because they were preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. You can say God. You can say Father. You can say Yahweh or Yahusha. You can say Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Shabuah, Jehovah Shabuah. You can say all of these mighty names of God. But the moment you say something, we sing the song, there's something about the name of Jesus. The moment you say Jesus, it disturbs every demonic force around you. And there's many around us out there in the world. If you want to know, just stand up and say Jesus. Oh, Jesus is so great. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is mighty. Jesus, oh God, he does works that I cannot tell you. He just do works. You will see how people begin to turn against you. They'll roll their eyes at you. They want to bust you in the face. They'll come against you in every way they can because of that name. You can preach anything you want to till you say Jesus. The homosexuals and the lesbians, the LGBTQ plus, go crazy when you say Jesus. Something they break out. The moment you say this, they go crazy. I mean, they break up with fester. They break up with fester because that name Jesus disturbs every demonic force. The demons don't have to be out there. It's in the people. It's in them. That demonic spirit is in them. And all you say Jesus is going to say, listen to what these leaders have the people afraid to speak the truth. That's why they said he is old enough. Ask him. The parents didn't. They know their son was born blind. They know that now he can see. They didn't know it was Jesus. They probably heard, but they didn't know because they were not present. But they couldn't say that it was Jesus because they was afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. How many of you today are afraid to testify against same-sex marriage, even in your church, that God put you as a preacher, as a watchman over the people's souls, and you got some members in your church that are slipping and dipping, and you wouldn't even bring correction to them because they write good checks, they give good offerings. He didn't say they can't come. But they can't come and stay the same way they are. It's just like somebody constantly drinking alcohol and smoking crack cocaine. They can come on down to the church building. I want you to come on down. I got something for you. I got some medicine for you that you need. The medicine that I got for you is Jesus. The same medicine that he gave me to get me off of crack cocaine. The same medicine that he gave me to stop me from womanizing, from committing adultery. The same medicine I got for you is not different. It's the same medicine. We want to come down, bring them down to the church, and we want to play lovey-dovey. And we want to say, well, we're going to love them, and love them, love them, love them. No, they need the word of God. They need the truth. They need the truth, and they need the spirit of God. That's what they need. Spirit and truth. Excuse. And they will change. But we want to pancake with them. when they come to the house. You can't show them all. You can't do it all. No, we ain't going to drop them all on you all at one time. It's too much for you to handle. We can give you a little bit at a time. We can show you what the Bible says, what God says. How are we going to change his mind? How are we going to give you a new mind? And the old mind got to go somewhere, back, go in the dirt, go somewhere, in the ocean, somewhere. But we're going to help you to get a renewed mind through the word of God. The word of God is the greatest convictor. Listen to the word. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. The Lord gave this to me last night. I was just scrolling through the computer, through the pages of the computer. And now you can turn them. These books, you can turn them on the computer just like the Bible, turn them. And this one here jumped right off the page. And we have taught on this some time ago. They told the Pharisees, the parents, you can ask my son. Go on and ask him how he got blind and who gave him sight. Who healed his eyes? I know he's my son to answer the first question. The second and the third question, they could not answer. They didn't want to answer because if they answered, there stood a great chance of being kicked out of the synagogue, of being not part of the system. We are too connected, too concerned of being part of the system, man's system, instead of being part of God's system, which is the eternal system. That's the system that we should be working and striving for to be part of. But we want to be connected. I want to be with the bishops. I want to be with the apostles. I want to be over there. I want to be able to be part of the big convocation. I want to be up on the altar with all of those bishops and apostles and prophets and prophetesses and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I want to be up there between them. And when you dissect them, you can see that they all, majority of them, not all of them, but majority of them living like hell. Some of them are homosexuals sitting up there on that altar with a robe on, with a priest's ring on their finger, with a cross on their chest, but you want to be part of them. So you're going to indulge in the foolishness that they're putting out. Don't want to talk, don't want to tell the truth. Compromising the truth. Hallelujah. And people dying and going to hell because of these preachers don't want to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The Bible says you should know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth. He told you that you got to worship him in spirit and truth. Some of them have some spirit, but they don't have the truth. Hallelujah. That's why people are not getting set free. Some have some spirit life, but they don't have the truth. They look. And even if you look at the spirit is not from Jesus. It's a compromised spirit. That's why they don't speak the truth. But here in this text here, John chapter 9, there's a lot more that I want to give you, but I'm just going to give you, as the Holy Spirit show me this chapter 9, and then we're going to go to here. I don't know if I'm going to get on tomorrow, but I'm going to try to get on here tomorrow because I got to get all this. I got to search the house and make sure I'm not leaving anything here and get everything packed because Saturday, if the Lord says the same and there's no bad weather, we will be in the airplane flying back to the United States of America, coming to do some work in America. Hallelujah. Then we're going to go to Louisiana after we rest for a little bit, and then we come back and rest for a little bit, and then we can go to Africa. You know, we got things that we got to do. The thing, Jesus said we got to work while the light is there. We got to work while the light is there. Of course, the night is coming where no one can work. We got to do work. We have an assignment. We got to fulfill the assignment. We can't leave and leave the assignment undone. They begin to talk. The parents respond. His parents said this because they was afraid, like us, of the Jewish leaders who had announced. They said, look, if you talk to God, claiming to Jesus, we're going to kick you out. So far, the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him God should get the glory for this. Because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. They said to the man, after the parents make the response to call him, talk to him, he's old enough. We know he's our son. We know he was blind. And we know now he can see. But we don't really know who, how he got here, how he got his sight. And we don't know who gave him his sight. So they called him in, the Pharisees. And they began to interrogate him. Hallelujah. Is there some place that you keeping you in spiritual bondage and you're afraid to tell the truth because you're afraid? It may be on your job. You don't want to testify how Jesus has delivered you from the lifestyle that you used to live. You were heading towards the bus hell wide open, but Jesus delivered you. And you will compromise the truth because of your job. You got to pay your house note. You got to pay your car note. The electric bill, the water bill, the gas bill, all that stuff. You said, well, I got to work. I got to pay. You forgot the same God that gave you the job at first can give you another job. You'll compromise it. You wouldn't tell the truth. They call this man in the second time. And they called him in. And they said, who had been blind? He was blind and told him, God should get the glory for this. Because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. The man replied, I do not know whether he is a sinner. This is what the man said. But I know this. I can tell you, I was a crackhead. I was a womanizer. I was the biggest sinner. But I know that he delivered me. He set me free. The man says, but I know this. I was blind. But now I can see. What a powerful testimony. The man is at a place. He don't care what nobody, what these Pharisees leaders, Jewish leaders say. He know he was blind. And he don't have no fear of telling the truth. What can you do to me? I can see now. You can give me sight. But this man give me sight. I struggled for years trying to put down the crack cocaine pipe. I struggled for years to stop my God committing sexual sins. But God delivered me and restored me. Why would I want to tell somebody that's in deep, deep doo-doo and want to get out? Their sin is so thick on them, it's like they're in doo-doo. They need you to tell them about this Jesus, what he has done, what he can do, and what he will do.
What you say? No, I don't want to tell that because, you know, I was walking this sin. I don't want nobody to know that I used to do that.
Guess what? You used to do that. You hear what you just said? You used to do that. You no longer do it. So why can't you testify? Pride. Because it will not let you to fit back. And once they know the truth about your past lifestyle, they may not want to congregate with you. Send them to hell. I don't care if you congregate with me. I'm going to tell you the truth. My bishop told me, he said, but don't hang with the sheep. The sheep are stupid. And ever since then, I had a different outlook at him. Because he was talking about the sheep that the shepherd gave his life for. Hallelujah. The shepherd gave his life for those dumb sheep that he called them. I'm no better than them. Hallelujah. He said, well, you shouldn't hang with them, apostle. They're all their sheep. You know sheep are foolish. Jesus went to the cross for them. Listen to this word, people. This is something that you got to look at your life. I examined my life again over and over last night. And I've been doing this for a long time. And I examined, he says, the topic is Jesus gives sight to the blind. And the answer to the question, do you want to see? What he's saying to us today is that you've got some blindness about you. Something that have you in darkness and your spiritual eyes need to be opened so you can walk into the light. That's what Jesus is saying. How many people prophesying and glorifying, testifying, all that kind of stuff? And it sounds real eloquent. But if you put a GPS on the car, let's put a GPS on them, you'll be surprised how blind they are. They got physical eyes. They got physical ears. But they don't hear nothing from heaven. And they don't see what heaven is doing. Because they're in spiritual darkness. You remember the movie, The Rapture, where the preacher preached, say he preached for 30-some years or 40-some years, the black man. True story. The man said he preached for 40-some years. And he said, but when the rapture came, the man in the movie, that man said he was seeing all this stuff like it was happening. And this is going to happen for real. Because Jesus said so. He said, many shall come and say to me, Lord, Lord, I did this and did that. And I prophesied. I heal in your name. I cast out demons in your name. He going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Enter into outer darkness. He said there should be nothing. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is what's going to happen. These folk don't understand the truth. This stuff is going to happen because they want to play church. They don't want to be the church. And Jesus is saying that we got to become the church. You got to stand for truth or you're going to fall for a lie. You can't compromise because somebody said we got a big position. They got a big position. No, your position is in Christ Jesus. Listen, man, let's say we can get down to this and finish this chapter. Lord Jesus, the man tell him the truth. But what did he do? They're still asking the guy. The young man tell him, look, I don't know if he was a sinner or not, but all I can tell you, the truth is that I was blind and I could see. They ask him again, but what did he do? He already told him two, three times already. They ask him, how did he heal you? Look, the man exclaimed, I told you once that you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? That was so good. He said, look, I told you already. I told you already. Pray with me to know more. Maybe you want to be his disciple. Oh, they got really hot. Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses. But we don't even know where this man comes from. And see, they're blind. Blind leading the blind. They're all falling into the same ditch. See, if you really, really, really know Moses, you would know the Messiah. Because Moses had an encounter with him, just like Saul did. He had an encounter with God himself, talked to him, mouth to mouth, on the mountain. Hallelujah. But they're testifying about Moses. Moses knew the Messiah. He knew the Lord. He went up in the cloud with God. He stood by the fire, barefooted, and heard the voice of God. He saw the fire representing the presence of the Lord, and the bush wasn't consumed. He saw all this. But they're saying we were Moses' disciples. We don't know this fellow. We don't know. We don't even know where he come from. Why? That's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? The man replied. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, they said, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, No one has been able to open the blind, the eyes of someone born blind. They should have known that it's God. Here they're speaking for God right now. God has said even from the beginning, hallelujah, if this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. This is what the man is saying. You were born a total sinner, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? They threw him out of the synagogue. So they're claiming that there in the synagogue, they have all the knowledge of God, so they know better than anybody else. And they're in a sense saying that they're not sinners, telling the man he was born a sinner. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. Oh, my God. This man has he has an encounter, and he is so excited, he wants to testify. He wants to know more. He says, I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you now. Jesus said, I am him. Just like when he spoke to the woman at the well, at Jacob's well. Oh, glory to God. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Do you hear me? To show those who think they can see that they are. I tell you, do you want to see? Jesus gives sight to the blind. Do you want to see? Because you have eyes, that don't mean you can see. You may be able to see me. I can see you. But you can see. Can you see what God is showing you? Can you hear what God is speaking to you? The man says, I believe. The man had experienced a touch, a miraculous touch from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He had received. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying we are blind? Jesus responded, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. Jesus replied, but you remain guilty because you claim you can see. You remain guilty. I told a lady yesterday that I was ministering to, the two ladies. I says, invite the Holy Spirit to teach you. You call yourself an Israelite, and you're doing all these ritualistic things that you're doing, you know, all that the Israelites do. But you knew that they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. They knew the law, and that's what you all are studying, the law. You are studying the law, and you're missing the lawgiver. And both of them stand there. We're in Broad Street, downtown, middle of town. Crowds of people passing back and forth. I'm in the middle of town. I'm sweating because you all, if you met me before, you know that God has opened my sweat glands more than any of my brothers. I sweat like there's no tomorrow. My jacket gets soaked. My hat gets soaked. Water drip off my hat. And I'm in the middle of town, in the middle of the city, here in Barbados, in the Caribbean. And I'm ministering to them. People passing and looking. And I'm still ministering. But by the time I stop, I ended sharing the word of God with them. It was saying, both of them were saying they need to know more. They need to learn more. You remember when Philip ministered to the Enoch? The Enoch wanted more. You see, the truth, if you tell the truth and don't put too much, don't try to add too much on to make yourself look good on the truth, because the truth don't need no addition to it. Just teach the truth according to how the Lord is releasing it to you. You don't need a whole lot. People will get what God is saying. But these folk are spending 3 and 4 or 5 and 6 days to write a sermon. And they're not reading what God is saying. They're reading what they see, what they learn inside the college, school of theology. So it sounds real prolific. And they're not really touching the hearts of the people. See, the word of God, you see, when it released by the Spirit, it touches people. You remember Jesus, he ministered all that word. And when he get on the cross, he was still ministering on the cross. He was still ministering on the cross with nail in his foot, nail in his hand. The centurion that placed his side in the blood and water come out. The centurion at the cross heard Jesus talking to the Father. He heard Jesus talking to the Father. He said, surely this was the Son of God. In other words, he accepted who Jesus was on the cross because of the truth. He just got to preach the truth. Today, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the truth, because it's your word that set the captives free. Your word is the key that we need to set us free, O God, to release us from this darkened place that Satan has surrounded us with, that we can step into that light where you are. Father, I ask today, God, that as this word has gone to the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord, that it will do exactly what you sent it to do, Lord, that it would reach sinners. It would reach even preachers that are preaching and teaching the gospel and still hanging out in darkness. They can't see anything. They can't hear anything. Lord, their spiritual eyes will be open. Their spiritual ears will be unstopped. God, we pray today in the name of Jesus. Lord, how you used me in the middle of the water at the beach, oh God, to minister to all of these women and men in the water without a Bible in my hand, only the Bible that's in my heart. Lord, I ask you to touch people all over the world by the thousands, if not millions, as they hear this word traveling by the satellite system. Let them draw close to Lord and repent, oh God, for not speaking the truth, not living the truth, oh God. We pray today. We had a young lady here that was trying to get close to me, and I had to let her know I didn't come to Barbados to have sex. I didn't come here looking for a woman. I come here to preach the gospel and spend time with the only sister that I have in life. That's why I come here. If that's what I came here for, I could have already had 3-4 women already. But that's not what I come here for. I'm on an assignment like Jesus told the disciples in this text. That's what grabbed me in the NLT. You see, we have an assignment that was given to us. We must carry out the assignment that was given to us. It's not about money. It's not about lust. And it's not about pride. But it's about love, the love of God that is in our heart that we must share. Let it go forth and touch people. Let people say that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. This is why he came. He didn't come acting off like he was a big somebody. He knew who he was. He knew that he was going back to the Father. He was going to sit on that throne. He became a lowly peasant for us. That's what he was. He got whipped. He got his skin torn open. His face torn. His brow pierced with thorns. His wrist nailed with a big spike. And his instep. And his side pierced for our sins. He didn't sin. But he went through all the punishment for our sins. And yet still we don't want to submit and commit to him. We want to commit on Sunday or Wednesday. And the rest of the week we want to do our own thing. We can't forgive our brother or sister that wronged us. We can't forgive our wife when our wife act unseemly. We can't forgive our husband when our husband act unseemly. We can't even forgive our sons and daughters, or grandsons and granddaughters when they act up. Put ourselves on a pedestal as the man of God, the woman of God. And we don't want to come down and be the lowly servant. This is how God going to use you. When you become the servant of God. Hallelujah. Look at Ezekiel and look at Amos and Ezra and look at Jeremiah and look at Isaiah and look at these prophets. How they humble themselves even into dungeons without a light, without a chair, without a bed for the gospel. We want to be up on the pedestal with the fine suits, the alligator crocodile suits. I would say she ain't never somebody yesterday. Like, that's it. You're concerned about the fine cars and the very fine cars when we cross over, we can't take with us. The man told me today at the beach, I was talking to this preacher, and he says that the preachers want all of this stuff and all that stuff. He says, but they make the caskets, these expensive caskets, $25,000. I didn't know they were that expensive. He says some of the caskets, $25,000, $35,000. Instead, the casket has some slip thing at the bottom that they just push in the bottom to hold the dead person in. And while the person is buried in that very expensive casket, the gold trimmings and all that stuff, he said by nighttime, the grave diggers come back on an assignment from the undertakers. And they, when they put the casket in the grave, they got some type of hair or something that they put at the bottom. And they put hair on the top so the casket don't touch the cement block or something that they also put in there. He says, but it rests on the hay. You know, the hay like the horses eat. And the hay is on top of the casket. Throw the dirt in like dirt. Don't pop the dirt. You know, so they come back in the nighttime when everybody's gone, and they dig up the dirt, a little bit of dirt, and remove the hay. They don't pack the size of the casket got hay too. He said, and they put these hooks down there, and they shake the casket, and these slides on the side of the casket remove, and the dead man drops down on the hay. They take up the new casket and they resell the casket. I said, many people are so wicked. Even when you die, that thing that you think you're spending all that money for to go down in, they take from you. So why are you putting your hopes and trust in all this worldly stuff? Put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Live for him. Live for him till he call you home. Hallelujah. Young man was telling me, I was talking to a young man in the ocean today. We went to the same school. We live in the same area, same neighborhood. And he was telling me, he says, Rev, my sister told me that I didn't know that before, but he told me today with his own mouth. He said, Rev, I can't walk comfortable on my own anymore. He said, I have to walk with crutches. And he was a healthy man, healthy young man when I was here. Strong, big muscles, big legs, big arms, big shoulders, like a wrestler. His family, daughter was in England and Canada and America. They all was well-to-do, had the best house in the neighborhood. Didn't long for anything. My family was the bottom of the barrel. We had much. I had to go get water from the standpipe, the government standpipe on the streets. I had to go and get water in the bucket and carry the water. Like you see them African people go and get a big, big 5-gallon plastic jug and they go get water from the river, that nasty water. But I used to have to go down to the street pipe and fill up a bucket. And I had my little cap and put that bucket on my head. Sometimes I had one on my head and one on my hand or two, one in each hand, and bring home. And I poured another container and then go back till that container is filled. I didn't have an easy life. They found me after, but he told me today, we had good conversation. I wasn't looking down on him or nothing. And he told me, he says, I have to walk with two crutches now. He said, I had got some kind of sickness, and when I got the sickness, it affect my legs. You know, he says, I come to the water every morning. He said, I come to the ocean every morning. I go in there and I'm able to exercise in the water. The water give me balance. And I saw the crutches on stand on the side of the beach. And in the water, I wasn't saying to him, but I was saying, Lord, I just thank you. I didn't have all the money that all of my associates and families had. We didn't have it. My mother used to have to raise the white people kids at a domestic college, fancy name, but she was really a slave, a domestic servant. She cooked their food. She washed their clothes to raise us. My father was an alcoholic. Maybe that's why all my brothers become alcoholics. I became a dope addict. I didn't want to be an alcoholic, but I became a dope addict. And in a sense, I drink a lot of alcohol to come down from the dope, smoking the cocaine. And I said to myself, Lord, in the water, I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for every trial, everything that we had to go through, never having enough. I remember the days that my mama, all she had in the house was flour. I was sharing with my sister the other day, she was just laughing. I said, my mama would take, in America, we call it pancakes. And you can buy the pancakes mixed in the store now. But I remember my mama would take some flour. She had all she had in the house was flour and some sugar. And we always had lemon trees. And she would make the pancakes. And she had, sometimes she didn't have Aunt Jemima syrup. Sometimes she had to mix it, the sugar thick to make a syrup. I put on and tell her, sit down, eat. That was our supper. Then she make lemonade with the limes, adding some of the same sugar. Oh, my God. And I was thanking God in the water. We didn't ever have all this money and stuff that these people had. But what we had with Jesus. We had a mother that couldn't read or write. But every sermon that she heard on the radio, she memorized the word I'm looking for. She memorized the sermon, the scriptures, and the songs, the hymns. And all she did was talk to Jesus for her children. None of my brothers was preachers. My sister's a Christian. And none of my brothers was Christians. And God impregnated me with his word, with a desire to reach lost souls for him. That's what he impregnated me with. And that's what I do every day. I want to see somebody saved. I don't care if I'm in Bridgetown. I don't care if I'm in Trafalgar Square. I don't care if I'm in Kingston, Jamaica. I don't care if I'm in St. Lucia, Grenada, Trinidad. I don't care where I am, Africa, India. I don't care where I am. I'm going to talk about Jesus. Every chance that I get, they can kill me. All they can do is kill my body, but they can't kill my soul. My soul has already been sealed, purchased. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you've given us. And Lord, we pray for that lost soul out there today that don't know you. They may be in an alcoholic house. They may be in a drug house right now. They may be in a homosexual house, living a homosexual lifestyle, a fornicated, adulterous lifestyle. Lord, whatever lifestyle that they're doing that are contrary to your word, to your command, I ask you, Father God, to reach down from your throne in glory. They're not too far. The Bible declared that your hand is not shortened, neither is your ear heavy. You can reach way down. As you reach way down to draw me out from where I was, you can still reach down. You are still reaching, and you can still reach that one that's lost in sin right now and draw them up to the place that they need to be in you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him will not be ashamed. Peter said in Acts 2:38 that you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the word of God. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Also, that's John 3:16. Also, he said in John 3:7, that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God didn't come in here with a whip in his hand and to condemn people and beat people up. He came in with love, compassion, mercy, and grace. Long-suffering, he's patient. And all we run in this place and run in that place, God is still watching over us. He is still shielding us because it is not his desire that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I like Romans 5:8. It says that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, that means while I was in the very act of sinning, Christ died for us. Oh, we just bless you, Father. We just bless you and praise you, O God. We magnify you. We understand that there's no other name given among men under heaven, O God. Ah, let me see if I get it right. that everybody, man, should be saved. Let's look at it in the book. Oh, I'm just quoting these scriptures out of my heart, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Yes, no other name, only Jesus. This is why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. He is the gateway. He is the door. If you come in any other way, you are thief and a robber. Hallelujah. So you got to come through Jesus. Hallelujah. You had to repent. That's the first thing. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus. Jesus is the name. See, that's why when you call that name, demons begin to act up and act out. They don't care who you talked about. You can talk about Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Emmanuel. You can say all that good stuff, and all that's good and powerful. But the name Jesus, it disturbed the demons. It disturbed them. They don't have no rest. It's like slapping them in the ear. When you call out Jesus, the name Jesus, it makes them tremble. It makes them shake. Hallelujah. The more you call that name, sometimes I get some spiritual encounters in the nighttime, and sometimes I can feel a different presence in the house. It's not of God. And I just said, Jesus, I'm laying in the bed. I'm not shaking. I'm not running. I can feel there's a different presence, you know, because when you serve in God, the presence of the enemy going to show up. He's going to come around trying to disturb you to make you feel uncomfortable. So I just said, Jesus. I said, the blood of Jesus. I said, I lay in the bed. I said, the blood of Jesus. And I go back into a deep sleep. Why? Because when you call that name, every other power must submit. Every other power must bow to the name of Jesus. If you even having problems in your house with your wife or your children, you just say, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you're taking control over this situation right now. I guarantee you that it's going to change. Because the demon that came in that house that quick to cause destruction, oh God, between you and your wife, cause division between you and your children. All you got to do is call on Jesus. He's a separator. Hallelujah. He has separated the demons, oh God, and send them back into darkness where you and your wife, you and your children can operate in the light of God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'll just give you a lot of scriptures there. And you want to know him today? I can't know him for you. You got to know him for yourself. You got to take the initiative to invite him to come on in. He is standing at the door of your heart right now. And he wants to come in. He wants to sup with you. Hallelujah. The Bible says he's knocking at the door. Which door? Not your front door. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And all you got to do is invite him in your heart. He'll come right on in. Sup with you and you sup with him. You know, when you tell the Lord that you're tired, sick and tired of going through all that you've been going through, and you recognize that you can't get through what you're going through without him, because he's the key to deliverance. Hallelujah. Invite him in your heart to come in and deliver you out of all the mess that you're in. I know I was in some mess too. Oh, Lord, I had to call on him. And I told him that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I keep going to the crack house and telling the people that I'm finished. I'm not going to get high anymore. And as soon as I get some money, I went back to the crack house. The devil said, go on and get some stuff. They got good stuff down there. Go get some stuff now. And I went right on and I got some more stuff. I'm coming to tell you that if you really want to get up from where you are and it seems like you're going around and around and around in circles, call on Jesus. Call on him with an honest heart, with a heart of repentance, meaning that you're beginning to turn away from your sin. Because that's all repentance is, that you stop doing what you've been doing and you start doing what you need to do. And say, Lord Jesus, yes, let's say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, I believe that you were crucified on a wooden cross, that you took the spikes in your hands and in your feet for me. Those thorns you took belongs to me, but you took them anyway on my behalf. Jesus, I believe you died on that cross, that you were buried, and that the Father, God, raised you up on the third day. Today, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and the world system. Jesus, I'm coming to you just as I am, broken, in need of a fixer. I need you to fix me, Jesus. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me whole. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Cause my soul to overflow like David's cup, Lord. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. Order my steps in your word, Jesus. I invite you to come in now, right now, right now, Jesus, into my heart. Take up your rightful position in my heart as Lord, Savior, and soon coming King. I receive you. I accept you. I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Well, if you just prayed that uncommon prayer, I never prayed it like that before, and you believe in your heart the scriptures that we rehearse in your hearing, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, it's more than just saying the prayer and reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. It's more than just reading that, but it's about living. It's more than just going to the church building. If people say they're going to church, but you're not going to church, you become the church. When you receive Jesus, you become the church. But it's about living as the church of Jesus Christ. You become a living testimony. Hallelujah. Now your lifestyle begins to change people. We like to say that change people change people. So when you begin to walk in the change, in the newness of life, the Bible talks about all things that pass away because all things become new. That's when you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So what happens is you begin to walk in this light, the light that Jesus says that is with you. We talked about that in John. The light that you're in that is with you, you begin to walk in it. People begin to recognize. I was in the ocean this morning bathing, swimming. I might go tomorrow and swim a little bit more because that's the last day I get chance to get because Saturday morning, I'm leaving this country if the Lord say the same. You begin, these people begin to, they recognize who I was. I didn't tell them. They knew from my past life that I was changing. But now they're seeing the change. And they begin to tell each other, he is a reverend. He is a minister for the Lord. See, because if your light begins to shine, you cannot light up a candle and have it on the candle stand and people don't see. If you put it on, it's a bushel, nobody see it. But if it's on the mountaintop or the hilltop, people will see it. You are the candle that's burning, your life. Not because you have fancy clothes and fancy shoes and stuff. But there's a light about you that's shining. People can see it in your countenance, in your face, that you live in this thing. But if you're compromising, guess what? They can also see that. They can see that you compromise the word of God, the life of God that is supposed to be in you. I thank God today for all those that received the gift of salvation. I recommend, God says to me in 2010 when we started this ministry, he says to have the people that received the gift of salvation to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so to get a gospel understanding of who this Jesus, these apostles who preach the same thing, we preach about each time we get a chance. Study. Now, the Bible don't say read. They say we read the Bible. No, it says study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to study the word of God. Means to go over and over and over till the word lodges in your heart. Hallelujah. Like your medication. You take your medication. It didn't work the first time. You got to keep taking the medication until the medication, though, become part of your bloodstream. And then it start working in your blood. But it's the same way. It was the same way with the gospel, the same way with the scriptures. You keep doing it. I used to tell my pastor, I said, man, I don't know how you do it, but I want to be able to. He said, well, son, If you want to be able to rehearse the word like me, you have to study the word every day, every day, every day, every day, till it gets in your heart. People think, well, God put the word in my heart. No, you got to put it in. You got to put it in. He'll give you the manuscript. Now you got to put it in. Then call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and say, look, I received the gift of salvation. I'm studying the word, but I need to be baptized. Before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Why? Because you want them to see. This is the open declaration, proclamation that you're making, that you have given your life to Jesus Christ, that you have made the decision to walk for Christ because he already walked for you. You're going to walk for him now. He walked for you and I, for all of us, when he went to Calvary, carrying that heavy load. Simon of Cyrene helped him, but he carried the cross most of the way. He carried it for you and I. Now it's time for us to carry our own cross for him right now. That means that people are going to persecute you, people are going to accuse you, they're going to abuse you, all that stuff because you're preaching the gospel, you're living the gospel. And then you're going into that we call a liquid grave. You are going in that grave and you're leaving this world. All that sinful stuff, thoughts and all that, you're leaving inside that watery grave. When you're coming up out of there, you're coming up in the righteousness of who God said you are in Christ Jesus. Find a church that's preaching, teaching the word of God. Every house that you go in, house of worship, are not teaching the truth. That's why you got to be like the Berean church in the book of Acts chapter 7 and 10, I think it is. And you will see the Berean church heard the apostles preaching and teaching. They loved the Lord. But the Bible said that they searched the scriptures daily because they want to make sure that what the apostle was teaching was the truth. It sounds like the truth. All these preachers, and hucking and all that stuff. Hucking and shucking, they call it. It sounds like the truth. They're jumping off the altar. Somebody said that now they need to make back an altar in the church instead of a stage. They have stages in them, not an altar. The altar is a place of worship, a place of sanctification, a place of sacrifice where you sacrifice yourself daily. But they have a stage now, lights and all, dry ice and all that stuff coming out of the altar. They're putting on a show. The altar now has to return to us, to the stage now to return to becoming an altar. All these places you go, you want to find a church that's truly teaching and preaching sound doctrine. Because we say here, sound doctrine makes sound people. And get yourself involved. Don't go into church, the building, and say, well, I'm just going to be a part of this body of believers. No. Be a participator. One who works, who does stuff. Go in there and say, Pastor, I want to get into whatever's going on. What are you doing? I want to be part of. I started cleaning the bathrooms because my trade with plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. I fix everything in the church. I fix everything that needs to be fixed. Hallelujah. And start doing some stuff. That's ministry. I pick up trash from around the church, cigarette butts, beer cans, beer bottles, alcohol bottles. I did all that stuff. And they said, what are you doing that out there, Minister Dave? I was the elder. I said, Elder Dave, why are you doing that? I said, because all this is part of ministry. If nobody pick up the cans that the people come around with the church and drop, they don't care. They're not saved. They empty the beer can and drop it on the church property. If nobody picked them up, you wouldn't be able to get in the parking lot. Somebody got to pick them up. That's ministry too. Everybody want to get up on the altar and preach. But you got to start in the parking lot first. Pick up the trash before you get to the altar. God bless you all. I'm finished. I thank God for you all to hear me tell you what thus says the Lord. The line is now open for anyone that wants to come on in and encourage us. The line is open.
God bless you, Apostle Conley. I was listening to you while I was unloading the truck, and I enjoyed every bit of it. Yeah. You had me chilled. It's a good word. I thank God for the word today. Every day I thank God for the word. The Bible says, no man should live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's his word, his mercy, and his grace that we haven't been pursuing. And while we're here today, we have to be a witness. I pray that this morning that we be a witness. People need to see the light because so many people are losing their minds and committing suicide and just giving up. They don't know what to do. And, you know, I was telling a lady the other day when I was unloading at one of my stores, I think I was in Atlanta, I said, the only hope we got is in Christ and God. Without God, man ain't going to make it. Man is not going to make it without God. We're not going to be able to function or do right. Without God, these demons will wreak havoc over us and take all of us out, even our children. But thank God for Jesus Christ and his blood that he shed for us, that we can be free and we can worship God in spirit and truth and we can be bold. I feel like this here, the LGBTQ or how many letters they got, can be openly gay. I can be openly holy and openly serve God. I can be bold to serve God. I can love him the same way. But he saved me and died for me. Saved me when I was out there in the streets and on cocaine and didn't know how I was going to make it. Lost everything. I got me all the way down to a piece of bread.
Well, praise
and
the Lord.
Walking,
nobody have anything to say, so we're going to pray and close out. We thank God for you all. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus that somebody came on today and hear the word. We're going to lay them on. They just finally cool off. And it's hot here. Next time I'm going to bring down an air conditioner with me and put it in this house. We fix the heat, the hot water. We go fix the air next time the Lord say. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for all those that came on today to hear the word. We ask to bless everyone. Know that we appreciate everyone that came to hear this word, this powerful, anointed word that you've given us, Lord. Lord, I know it's a lot I have to do, Lord. I have to continue to search myself and allow you to fix me and clean off the skins off my eyes and remove the blockages in my ears that I would hear clear and I would see clear. Oh, Father, I ask today you bless every hearing ear and every seeing eye today. Lord, we ask you to heal every ailment in our bodies, every infirmity today. Lord, we thank you for Apostle Stewart. We thank you for Minister Jones and his wife or mother. And we thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser over in Mississippi. Lord, we ask you to bless his ministry. We're going to try to get on his prayer line tomorrow night. The Lord say the same. We can afford to pay the time to go on and listen to him prayer. We just ask the Lord to touch Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. Lord, bless their ministry, Lord God, as their ministry is growing. And the anointing is there, Lord. The word is being preached there and taught there. Lord, we ask you to bless
Eddie's toward Van Cleef Street.